Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
In a series, this is part two of the series, Reset. As I began the series, I talked about my time playing Nintendo. Wasn't Super Nintendo, but simple Nintendo. We had Mario, wasn't Super Mario, just regular Mario. And when I first learned to play it, it wasn't going in my favor, but I knew there was a reset button, and I was able to start over and get some stuff right that I had gotten wrong. I learned how to use the reset button. Now, for others, if you're playing in a game with someone on one of the game systems, when you're winning and they are losing and you're at their house, you don't really want them to hit the reset button, but they would do it in the middle of the game, so they would say you didn't win. So sometimes, brothers and sisters, though, in life, we need to hit reset. Sometimes also we have computer systems. Our computer systems get overwhelmed where our memory is too full and it doesn't function as it should. And in order for us to get stuff back performing as it should, we might have to hit reset. Some of us had way too much going on last year. We were not able to perform as we should. And God has laid it on my heart for January to challenge us to reset some things so that we can be better in 2015 than we were in 2014. And so I'm thankful for this opportunity to share in part two and looking for what God is going to do in our lives. Amen. If you have your Bibles, your book of instructions before leaving earth, I invite you to turn with me, scroll if you will, to Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32. If you are able, we all stand to honor the reading of God's word. It'll also be on the screen behind us. On the screen, that's the New International Version, NIV version, but you may have your Bible apps or what have you. So we invite you to turn or scroll. If you have an iPad, an iPhone, which is what I share every Sunday, you can scroll. If you have one of the new Galaxy flat screen TVs, just hold it up so every one of your sections can see the scripture more clearly. Genesis chapter number 32. And while we are standing, I also have to celebrate and show appreciation for our all-star team. That's the volunteers that come in to pull this together every week. And so I'm thankful for them. Can we give them just a quick hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen. Those who are coffee drinkers, they make your coffee. They're out in the parking lot waving as we're coming in. They're setting up the chairs. And so I'm thankful for such a tremendous, tremendous all-star team as well. Genesis chapter number 32. I'm going to preach, for the most part, all of 32. But I know y'all not going to stay and listen to me preach. That preacher read the whole chapter. We're not going to do that. So we'll start with verse number 22 and read down through verse number 31. Here's what it says. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, I'm going to leave that alone, his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Your version may actually say an angel wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him, and he passed Peniel. He was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. As you're taking your seat, will you help me introduce the sermon by saying to your neighbor, neighbor, today's sermon is reset for change. Tell another neighbor, neighbor, today's sermon is reset for change. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. Yes. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I've prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Reset for change. In January of 2013, Sabine Maru, a 67-year-old Belgian woman, she was driving to pick up her friend from Brussels. It was about a 90-mile drive from her home. But based on what was going on with her GPS system, she drove all the way to a place called Croatia, nearly 1,000 miles away. The journey took the woman across 5 international borders. She stopped several times to get gas, to get food, and to take naps. But she kept going until she hit the capital of Croatia. After a few days, her son got worried and called the police to locate his mother. Following her bank statements, she told a Belgian reporter, "I was distracted, so I kept driving. I was distracted, so I kept going. I saw all kinds of signs, first in French, then in German, and finally in Croatian. But I continued driving because I was distracted. When I passed into the capital of Croatia, I told myself I should turn around and get back on course." I would love to say I had made the story up, but the woman really did drive almost 1,000 miles out of the way. And while hearing the story of Sabine may seem strange to us, because we can't imagine ever getting that distracted, that I spend my money. You know how much it takes to go 1,000 miles out of the way if you're taking naps and getting food? So for us to hear her story seems strange. We wonder, why in the world would she go so far away from her goals? How could she be so distracted? But the reality is that many times in life, we are just like Sabine. We know what we want out of life. We know what we want to accomplish. We know where we want to go. We know what our goals are and what we want to achieve. But somewhere along the journey, we get distracted. We get off course. Months go by. You see the signs that you're going in the wrong direction, but you don't stop because you are distracted. And sometimes we actually enjoy the party while being distracted. You get further and further off course, and years go by, and you look up and wonder, how in the world did I get here? How am I so far from where I wanted to be? Look around and you get tired of the way that things are, and you finally stop getting distracted, and you say, "I need to reset my course and go towards my goals." challenge that many of us have is that we get stuck in a place that we should not be. And while others may see that we are in the wrong place, we stay stuck until we make up our minds that I've got to reset some things. Change will never happen until we want change to happen. You're going to keep going in the wrong direction, and you'll keep being distracted until you make up in your mind, I can't do this anymore. You'll stay at a dead-end job until you realize that God really does have more for my life. You'll stay in the club twerking until you realize I really do want change in my life. You'll avoid going back to school until you realize that I'm really ready to move forward. You'll stay in a dead-end relationship until you come to grips with the reality that God really does have more for you. And somebody here this morning, you know this word is for you. You've been struggling with moving forward. You've been struggling with hitting reset in your life. You know that you're off course. You know that things are not as they should be. You've been struggling to hit reset. And this time of year, brothers and sisters, God wants you to know that he's given all of us an opportunity to hit reset and to get some things right. It's time to reset for change. It's time to get on the right course. It's time to get back on God's plan. It's time to rearrange, restructure, reestablish some things in our lives. Somebody say, it's time to reset.
It's time to reset.
It's time to reset. The interesting thing about reset for change is that it cannot and will not happen until you are ready to make a change. And God knows exactly what you had to go through to get to the point in your life that you are ready for change. And God works with us in moments that we decide that it's time to change. Here in the text, we see Jacob at a pivotal point in his life. And looking at how God works with him helps us to understand a little bit more about how God moves in our lives. First of all, we see needing a change. We see needing a change. The word reset means to move something back to an original place or position. To move something back to an original place or position. But in order for me to reset something, I first got to admit that it's not in the position that I wanted it to be in. It means that I admit that something is out of place. Jacob needed a change. And brothers and sisters, in life sometimes we too need a change. Change is needed. You see, Jacob had some issues in his past. He kept stealing from people. His own brother, he stole his brother's blessing from their father. He ran to hide out at his uncle Laban's house, but then he had some issues with his uncle, and he had to run from his uncle Laban's house. God saw that Jacob needed a change in his life. In essence, I've got to get you past your past in order to get you to the blessings of your future. God is saying, Jacob, I see you're struggling with some issues in your past, and I've got to change some things. I've got to get you past your past in order to get you to the blessings of your future. Jacob, I've got to deal with your past. God says, go back and I will be with you. Here's what's interesting. Jacob's brother Esau hears that his brother Jacob is on his way back to their hometown. His brother Esau made up his mind, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you. Jacob ran from his brother Esau. Esau said, listen, bro, if you ever come around here again, I am going to kill you. If you ever come on this side of town again, I'm going to kill you. And God tells Jacob, go back. Jacob begins to go back. His brother gets word that he's on his way back. And his brother sends an army of people. I ain't going to let you get in town. If I can catch you on the outskirts of town, I'm going to get you and I'm going to deal with you. I've hated you for a long time. time. And now is my time to get revenge. And so his brother sends an army of people out to get him. Jacob is in an interesting position because God got him here. God, I was cool where I was at, but now you're trying to change some things in my life. God, I didn't really even want to come out here, but now my brother is sending an army of people to get me. Jacob had some issues in his past, but God is helping him to understand, in order for me to get you to where I'm trying to get you to, I've got to get you past your past in order to get you to the blessings of your future. And Jacob says, God, you said to do this. God, you sent me here. Then he says, when I got started in life, I didn't have anything, but now I've got some stuff and I'm afraid of losing what I have. Brothers and sisters, one of the challenges that comes along with resetting for change is the fear of losing the little that we have in hopes of getting to the more that God has for us. One of the major challenges is God says, I have more for you, but in order for me to get you to more, you've got to leave some stuff. And we don't really know where God is taking us to. And Jacob is in that experience. God, I really don't want to risk what I have because I don't know what's ahead of me. It's only when we are able to admit that I cannot go along with life the way things are, God, I'm at the point where I really am ready to change. Jacob is between a rock and a hard place. He can't run back to Laban's house because he's afraid of what Laban would do to him, and he's afraid of what's ahead of him because he don't really know what's coming at him. God, you said you would be with me, and you've got me out here for change. God said, in order for me to prosper you, I've got to get you past some things in your life. We've got to deal with who you used to be. Brothers and sisters, in this new year, we first got to come to grips with the fact that some things in our lives are out of place. Some things in our lives may need to be restructured. In this new year, we've got to admit that some things need to be rearranged. Some things are misaligned. And we've got to get over the fear of losing what we have and trust that God will bless us when others are looking at what we are going through. Trust that when we follow God's direction, God's got us covered. Jacob, I know you're scared, but it's time for a change. It's time to stop running from your past. It's time to move past your past in order to get to the more that I have for you. Jacob, you need a change. And brothers and sisters, many of us sitting in here this morning are just like Jacob. We need a change. And you've made up in your mind that you can't keep going the way that things are. You've made up in your mind in 2015 is going to be my year to restructure, rearrange, and reestablish some things in my life. Is there anybody here is willing to admit, God, I need some change in my life? Make up your mind that you're at the point where you are ready to change. There is a story of a fighter pilot. Fighter pilot gets in his aircraft and he's flying his aircraft. The challenge is that the measurements or the directions he's using is off by 2 degrees. When he starts off, it's off by 2 degrees. He's flying his aircraft. He knows where he is going. The challenge, though, was that he started off 2 degrees off course. He kept flying, and the further he flew, it took him further and further and further away from his goal. Until he found himself in enemy territory, and then he needed to turn around and reset as quickly as possible because he was in danger. He needed to change. And brothers and sisters, sometimes that's exactly where we are in life. We got off course, and we stayed off course for so long that we look in the mirror and we don't even know who we are anymore. How did I find myself in this situation? Yes, it's only at those moments in life where we throw up our hands and we'll say, God, I really do need a change in my life. Jacob is at this point in his life where he's between a rock and a hard place, and God shows up and begins to work with him. So first of all, we see that a change is needed. Secondly, brothers and sisters, here's what we see. Making a change. Making a change. Jacob is in an interesting position because he's situated between Mount Gilead behind him and the Jabbok River in front of him. He has Mount Gilead behind him and the Jabbok River in front of him. He's between what's behind him and what's before him. He's between his past and his future, and he's stuck in the middle. One of the most uncomfortable places we can be in life is when we are stuck between our past and our future. I know there is something more out there, but I'm stuck between my past and my future. Here's the story to help us out. James Baldwin wrote a book. I tried to remember the name of it. I got too many books, but one of y'all may remember the story. James Baldwin talks about this. There's a character in the story, and this character has a dream. And in the dream, he hears screams. He hears wailing behind him, turns around, and it's his ancestors, it's slaves, it's those who had been beaten, and they're pulling for him. And then in front of him is white space, is openness. He turns around and he says, "Who are these? Who are they?" And the response is, "These are your ancestors. This is where you've come from." And they are pulling at him. The question for him is, will I go back there? Or will I go ahead when I don't know what's in front of me? And many of us have that struggle in life. We believe that God has more for us, but our past pulls us and calls us and tries to keep us where we are. One of the most uncomfortable places we can be in life is between our past and our future. The past, which you know, and the future, which you are uncertain of. The Bible says that that night Jacob was left alone. And during the uncomfortable time, he wrestled with a man or an angel of God. Has anyone ever really had to wrestle with God? I know y'all are super holy, but I can admit there are some times where I say, "God, look, in a very real sense, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to go there. God, I don't understand why you have me here." Here it is. Jacob wrestles with an angel or with God. "God, I know what you're trying to do. I just don't like it." The Bible says when he was alone at night that he wrestled with a man or an angel of God. This may be considered what's called a theophany. Theophany. I can't spell, so I'm not going to spell it for you. Theophany is a big word. It simply means it's an appearance of God in scripture, a theophany. So y'all can go back to work or what have you, tell your friends, you can tweet that, that I learned the word theophany today in church. Now, theophany is an appearance of God in scripture, and it was almost daybreak. In other words, at night, they are wrestling all the way until daybreak when the angel says, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "No, not until you bless me." Then the angel asked a profound question in a fight. In a fight, the angel said, "What is your name?" It's a profound question because during that time period, your name represented who you were. I mean, it wasn't like LaQuinta. No. Your name then really did mean something. It meant who you were. It represented your essence. And so, in essence, he's saying to him, "Who do people know you as? What's your name? What's your story?" At night, Jacob told him who he used to be. And the angel said, "You won't be held by your past anymore. I'm going to give you a new name, and it's going to be Israel." I love it. I love it. I love it. It was at the lonely time. It was at the dark time when change took place in his life. Notice that no one else was around him. It wasn't when the sun was shining. No, it was during the dark and lonely time that change took place in his life. And brothers and sisters, I want us to understand something. It's during our dark and lonely periods when God shows up and begins to rearrange and restructure and reestablish some things in our lives. It's during those moments that God changes us. It's during those moments that God rearranges some things for us. It's during those times that God God reset some things in our lives? And is there anybody here that knows that sometimes God will reset some things when others don't even know that God is working on you? Here it is. There's a story that I want to try to paint the picture for us. If you've ever gone to watch a play, I had one opportunity where I went to see a play on Broadway. It was only one time, but I got to see Color Purple on Broadway. Great show. And what I noticed, though, was this. In between scenes, they would bring down the lights in the theater. And I'm wondering what they're doing in between scenes. They bring down the lights and it would get dark in the theater. But I found out that while it's dark in the theater, other people were on the stage. They were rearranging some stuff. And so that when the lights came back up, it's the same stage, but the scene had been changed. Brothers and sisters, I want us to know that sometimes God begins to let some things get dark in our lives. And it doesn't mean that God has neglected us. It doesn't mean that God has left us. But sometimes God will allow us to be in a lonely place, in a dark place, so that he can make the changes that he needs to make in our lives. It's when others are not looking at us that God is working on us. And he makes some changes in our lives. And I'm out your way, brothers and sisters, with this third point. So we see that there was a need for change. We see that change was made. But then we have the reality of living with change. Living with change. I can remember when I had some points of change in my life. Here was the most drastic point of change for me in my life. I left my mother's house. I went to the military. And at my mom's house, everything was there. If I was hungry, I just went to the refrigerator, and there was food there. I never questioned my mom about the lights. I never questioned her about the heat or the AC, none of that. One of the most drastic changes that happened in my life. I left my mom's house. And I was a man now. I had made a change. But then I had to live with the change. And the problem happened was when I got my first bill with my name on it. And I looked at my checking account and the way that my checking account and savings account was set up. I looked at it and I had to live with the fact that I had made a change. And I've got bills that I could not pay. I called my mom. I said, Mama, I can't pay. My mama said, Baby, you're a man now. You got to live with the changes that you have made. My little sister is here. She didn't make that mistake. And so my mom is able to really help her out a little bit more. But I made up my mind to change a little bit. And so now I can call my little sister and ask her to call my mom to give us, but nevertheless, I had to live with the change. Brothers and sisters, in 2015, if you're going to make some changes, you got to deal with the reality of that change. There will be people who you really do want to break off from. The problem happens is that you have to do it and then live with it. Why don't you call me no more? I've made some changes in my life. Why don't you come hang out anymore? I really have made some changes in my life. Every time we went out, you used to pay for it. I've made some changes in my life. Why don't you date him anymore? I've made some changes in my life. Why don't you date her anymore? Man, listen, I really have made some changes in my life. Brothers and sisters, when we make up our mind that in 2015 some things are going to be reset, reestablished, and restructured in my life, we're going to have to be willing to live with that change. Here it is. Jacob wrestled, and Jacob got a change. Then Jacob got something that he had to live with every day of his life that represented that change. Angel touched his hip. Then on, Jacob walked with a limp, because he had made a change in his life. And when someone sees Jacob, they say, Jacob, why are you walking with a limp? Well, let me tell you a little bit what happened to me. One day I struggled with God, and God changed me. Yeah. Jacob, why are you walking with the Lord? Let me tell you what happened with me. One day, I struggled with God, and God got me past my past to get me to my future. Jacob, why are you walking with the Lord? Let me tell you my story. One day, I got in a struggle with God. God was trying to take me somewhere, but I couldn't really let go of who I used to be, and I struggled so much so that God left me a remembrance of the change that He has made in my life. My brothers and my sisters, I want us to know this. When God begins to make a change in your life, we have to live with it. And when people want to know why we are so different or why we have changed so much, tell them what God has done in your life. One Sunday morning, I went to Uplift Church and I made up my mind and I'm changed. And in 2015, I'm going to live with the change. I want to bring you all a little bit into my sermon preparation. I talked to my friend about this. I struggled with how to best communicate this sermon with this text, because I want us to wrestle with, and this is what I wrestle with. God, we know that we need to make some changes. The difficulty comes in living with it and applying it in our lives. God, I know some of the people I hang around, I need to change, but the difficulty is I've built relationships with them and I don't want to just cut them off. How do I do that? How do I make that change? God, I know I got to get some stuff right in my finances, but they have been jacked up for so long, it's going to take me a minute to really just kind of, how do I make that change? God, I know I'm in a horrible relationship. I know it, but now we live together. And so how do I make that change? Brothers and sisters, this is in essence the difficulty that Jacob has to struggle with. How do I live with the change that's being made? I'm out of your way. I'll tell you this. When I was in the military back in 04, I was stationed in a place called Djibouti, Africa. Don't look it up. It's just hot. There's nothing really there. But it's on the equator. On the equator. And I can remember sometimes I would have to work. I ran the communication shop there, but I would have to work from like 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And because it's on the equator, the sun would pretty much come up there. And I can remember I would come out the tent at about 4:45 in the morning or something. And it would still be night outside. And I would always be amazed trying to watch night turn into day. And I could see it because I'm on the equator, but I could never really capture when it happened. It would just, I'm watching it, but it would slowly fade in. I would watch it be night, and some kind of way, even while I'm watching it, change begins to happen right before me. And I could never really tell where it started and where it ended, but I knew every single second it was progressing towards and becoming from night to day. Brothers and sisters, if you're going to reset for change, it doesn't mean it has to be immediate, but it does mean that you have to begin to make progress towards your goals. You're going to have to make it step by step to live with the change, so that when others look at you, they can say, I can't tell when it started, but I do know they went from night to day.
Let's pray. Father God, we come before you now.
We thank you that you've had us come to